And welcome to the Toddler Talk podcast, where we discuss all things related to speech, language and communication development in the early milestone years. My name is Camilla Marks. I am the founder and owner of Toddler Talk, an online support service for all parents who are interested in early childhood milestone development. This podcast consists of chats, discussions and interviews between me, the Toddler Talk team, and various other guests, professionals and parents, where we discuss best ways for parents to become the experts of their child's early milestone development. So, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Today, it's just me, Camilla Marks, founder of Toddler Talk. I'm here to talk to you about how to deal with and manage toddler tantrums. This is the first podcast in our Toddler Tantrum Toolkit series, where I will do my very best to help you in those tricky and sometimes troublesome toddler tantrum moments. So what we've done in Toddler Talk is we have put together and developed 10 top tantrum tips to help you in those toddler tantrum moments. And throughout this Tantrum Toolkit series, we will talk about and discuss how to apply those tips in your very busy day-to-day lives. And I think before we start even to dig deeper into the whole toddler tantrum issue, I think it's important for us to consider that there are many different types and levels of intensity of toddler tantrums. And I reckon that the tantrum that most distresses parents and toddlers is the code red tantrum. And today, this is the one that we're going to consider mostly. It's actually from our top tip number 10. And it's called, that tip is called the code red. What can I do in a code red? That's the time when it's all gone to hell in a handbasket, literally. And it's the moment, perhaps, when you least expect it, you might be least able to deal with it. Probably trying to get out the door, across a busy road, or wind your way out of your local supermarket where everybody knows your name. And so it's the one that can be the most troublesome, and also the one that is probably the most distressing for both you and your child. Now, I would always say that best advice would be to apply all our other tips, 1 to 9, interactively, proactively and preventatively throughout the day so that you avoid reaching a code red situation. Because I think in the long run, prevention is better than a meltdown. However, what I have found over the years in my work with parents is that they get very frustrated when I say, I want to tell you about all the ways you can prevent the code red. And they say back to me, well, actually, you know what? I'd really like to know what to do to put out that fire. And I say, okay, you know, let's look at how we'll put out the fire, but let's also commit to thinking about all these other preventative issues. Let's look at fireproofing the house when we know what to do should that code red happen. So we'll start with that today. I think what we need to think about is starting with what an actual code red is. Okay, so if we get some kind of definition of it, because these code red toddler tantrums, to me, they're a meltdown. They're a moment when our child is telling us, I just can't cope. And they are very exhausting. They are very stressful and they're very distressing for everybody involved. It can take a lot of time to recover from. And if we know that we're dealing with a code red, I think we need to think about 5 clear rules to engage with in that moment. So remembering that in that situation, really what our children are trying to tell us is that they can't really absorb any more verbal input from us or from any other adult, because that's only going to just pour more oil on the fire. And identifying that your child is actually in that state, in that meltdown state, is the first thing we need to do. Okay. And often children will have many different individual signs that are particularly unique to them. But some of what you may see are things like your toddler might start to hurt themselves, and they might do this by scratching themselves or pulling at their skin. Or sometimes I've seen children pull at their ear. They're digging their nails into their arms. And even though they're not using these particular words, what they're really, the message that they're really conveying to us is, I'm really overwhelmed by these big, massive feelings right now, these big, massive emotions. and I am just way too young to find another way to say this to you. They may try to flee from us. They may start screaming hysterically. You might see them foaming at the mouth. They could actually start trying to hurt you. Their face could be turning to purple. So like, this is a full on code red meltdown. I can't cope. And of course, this is probably at the very moment that you're struggling to cope yourself. Okay. So if we think about this as if they're trying to flee from us or if they're trying to fight with us, they're in that fight or flight stage, that very moment when all they can really respond with is, I either need to get away from this or I need to fight my way out of it. None of it is personal. They're now in this kind of automatic freeze, fight, flight stage. And it's not the time to think about it as teaching them anything new, teaching them or telling them that there's anything bold or bad about what they're doing. The first rule number one is, in a code red, keep everybody safe. Nothing else matters right now but everyone's safety. So for your child, that might mean that you may need to hug them, hold them, soothe them if they will let you. But whatever it is you need to do, safety first. And you know your own child best, so you know the best way to do that. Now, rule number two, and this should happen pretty much at the same time, is stop talking. Zip the lip, right? Zip it up. Because like I just mentioned earlier, in this kind of code red space, our children have no capacity now to absorb or process any more verbal input. They don't need to know about any future consequences for this particular behavior. And we'll talk about that another time, because probably maybe there shouldn't be. It's not the time for teaching lessons. It's not the time to tell them that this behavior is bold or bad or how they're making you feel. It's the time for everybody to just stop talking. Remember, you have a fire, don't put oil on it. Okay. And so even though this might be a little bit contradictory to that, but the next rule then is letting them know this is okay and it's okay. This is going to be okay. You can very softly, quietly, kindly. You could help by rubbing their hand. You could help by just stroking their arm if they'll allow it. You can very gently talk to them, maybe in a whisper, just two words, it's okay. Or something like, this is a big feeling, that's okay. Right? Now, I told you that this isn't a good time to teach anything. What I mean is it's not a great time to teach them that this is a bold behavior, but it might be an opportunity to help them understand that having a big feeling is not something they need to be ashamed of or something that's bold. It's a time to help them understand that having a big feeling is okay. It's not going to annihilate them. It's not going to wipe them out. It's not something they need to suppress, or it's not something they need to run away from. Because I often wonder about this. If we spend a lot of time telling kids that these big responses are bold, if we label them that, or if they get the signal from us that they're not okay, then maybe what we're teaching our children is that as they go through life, these feelings don't live comfortably within them. And so that might be often when they start to develop certain habits to avoid feelings or to suppress them. So even though it might be the least thing you want to do at that time, just remember, you know what? We're all a bit stressed. It's all a bit stressful. But if I can find it within myself to let my child know he or she is safe and let them know that this big emotional event is actually okay, we're all going to be okay, then down the line, if they have these big emotions, then they may not be as so overwhelmed by them as they grow older. So we don't want them to develop shame about this. And what we are saying here is that we're going to ignore the actual behavior, but we're not going to ignore the child. So we're going to keep them safe. We're going to reassure them. We're going to tell them it's okay. And if we feel that we need to deal with the behavior that happened in a rational way at a later time, then we can do that. But now is not the time for that. The other thing that can be very hard to let go of here in this moment is if you had an agenda, right? So if this tantrum happened And they usually do in transitions. Like, so when you're either trying to get out the door or you're trying to get into your car, and you may have more than one, or you may be trying to pack the shopping and you may be trying to get that from the trolley into the boot of the car. And this is when this happens. Sometimes one part of our brain takes over, which is, I need to get to the end of the thing that I needed to do, and then I'll deal with this. And what might that might do to you is that might accelerate your fight response. And in that space, then you have two beings that are in this kind of locked into this very sort of heightened dynamic interaction with each other. And again, it's at that moment when it's possibly the hardest thing to do, but the best thing to do would be to think to yourself, does the next thing I want to do matter right now? Does it matter if I don't get everything into the boot of the car? Does it matter if I've 10 minutes late for the appointment I'm heading to? Does it matter really if I'm 10 minutes late for preschool or whatever it is? Because sometimes we get kind of locked into these automatic chain of events or automatic agendas we think we should be following, and we forget that right now that might not matter. Right now, what might matter most is safety, reassurance, and teaching our toddler in the space that it is not the worst thing in the world to have big, massive feelings. So, just in those moments, we can tend to lose rational thought ourselves, and we can have a red mist too. And you know what? That's all right as well. But if you just remember, you're the grown up, you have a choice to breathe, you have a choice to let other stuff go that may not be as important as you think they are right now. And just let yourself do that. Be well in that space. And so that brings me then on to rule number five, which is now we kind of have to talk about all the other stuff that are in our top 10 tips, because they're all the proactive strategies and the proactive tips that if we can weave them in and out of our busy day-to-day lives and our interactions with our toddlers, it is less likely that we're going to get to code reds, perhaps as many times as is happening right now. So every time I start to talk about any behavior, a behavior of concern or behaviors that challenge or are disruptive, I always sort of look at them as being a message. So a behavior is communicating a message to us. And in the land of behavior, where I grew out of, we always just look at behavior as having four functions. And when I talk about functions, I talk about this idea that behavior serves a purpose for every individual. And if we just boil it all down to four particular functions, which are objective, and when I say objective, they're not opinions, they're not assumptions, they're not, oh, I think they're doing this to control me, or I think they're doing this just to get what they want. We end up sort of evaluating that behavior from a sort of more emotional place, and it doesn't help us then to decode the message that they're giving us and find ways to help them find a different way of delivering that message. So out of those four functions, or four messages as I call them, the first one is often is a way of saying, I don't want that. And that is something that we see a lot in toddlers, is that they know sometimes more than we think they know. They are reading signals in the environment, and their behavior might be to try and avoid something they feel is coming next. They might not want to leave the house. They may not want to transition into the car. They definitely don't want to pass the sweet rack in the supermarket without getting a bar. Okay, so I don't want to keep moving. So I don't want that, or I don't want to end this lovely preferred activity that I want to do. So now that we have to do your thing. And so the tantrum is a way of avoiding the thing that they don't want to do. So in an ideal world, we would always try and help them tell us that I don't want. And when they tell us I don't want, then we can help them acknowledge that we hear you, but we'll do my thing first, and then we'll do your thing later. Okay, we'll talk more about that when we delve deeper into the other nine strategies. The other thing that toddlers often will have a tantrum about will be when they want something that they can't have. Okay, so again, we have a strategy for that, which is, yeah, I hear you, I hear what you want, but you know, first something else, and then we'll talk about what you want. The strategies that we outline in tips 1 to 9 are slightly more deeper than that, and we'll, as I said, go through them when we talk again about this. A third thing that we might often see as a function of behavior is I want you, I want your attention. And toddlers are amazingly gifted at finding ways to get attention. And oftentimes they don't really care if it's good or bad attention, they just want some kind of attention. And so one thing we look at there is always making sure that we fill them up full of lots of very good positive attention throughout the day, so they don't become sort of, as I call it, starved of our attention to the point that they're just so much more motivated to do challenging things than to get it back. And again, we'll discuss that further. Another thing, or another function of behavior that we often kind of look at, is this idea of the behavior delivering some kind of sensory feedback. And when I talk about that in the tantrum space, I often wonder if a child gets to that very full-on, I can't cope meltdown space where they're, you know, where we see them digging their nails into themselves, they're pulling at their skin or pinching or even hitting out. I often wonder, are they so overwhelmed in their sensory system by these floods of feelings that are going through them, that some of those behaviors that are happening in that moment are just a way to give themselves some sensory feedback, almost like an internal strategy they have to just calm their nervous system. And so perhaps what might be looking incredibly distressing to us, I often wonder, is it that function? Is it serving that function? You know, that this thing that I'm doing right now is actually just helping me calm myself down. So if we think of tantrums or whether it's the code red one or all the other sort of lower level ones, if we think about them as messages that are being conveyed to us, then I'm always kind of thinking of, you know what, let's always consider that we're looking to crack the code of what our toddler is trying to say. And if we can crack the code, help them to say it in a different way, or help them to do a different thing to get what they need or they want, then we're just going to shift that paradigm a little bit. And in our tantrum toolkit, we're going to help you to implement some of those simple and practical strategies that we outline on the 1 to 9 tips. And then you can start to think about, how can I, as a busy parent with more than enough to do in my day, just maybe reset my mindset, re-look at what's going on here and rethink about these things from a more sort of objective, scientific almost way, being a detective, being a behavior detective for your toddler, and think, you know what, that's not about me. That's not about me needing to feel bad, not about me needing to feel guilty as a parent. It's my toddler trying to deliver a message, and they're just at the stage right now where they don't have all the tools or the tricks of the trade, as I would say, to actually use words to help them do that. So I hope you've enjoyed some of what you've heard today. I hope it's been of some help to you. You're always, always welcome to contact us at info@toddler-talk.com with any queries or questions, because I can begin to start answering them throughout the podcast series. And in the next episode of this, we're going to talk about our top 10 tips that I've already highlighted, and how we can begin to weave them or practically apply them in our day-to-day lives. So thank you so much for listening today, and I will hope to talk to you all again shortly. Bye.